Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Tapping into the divine. We started with this message series last week. The idea that the creator of the universe would be willing to bend reality for your sake. That's a crazy idea. You might be thinking, that actually is a crazy idea. But that is what this whole prayer thing is about, tapping into the divine. Last week, we set the foundation for that, that when we communicate with the God, the purpose of that is relationship building. It's not to give him a list of stuff that we want and need. You know, we really do need stuff. Today, the message is entitled, In the Name, and we do have a YouVersion app, live event for that. If you have the Bible app on your smart device, you can connect with the event for today that has, you know, relevant scripture and where do we go from here questions. How do I apply this on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning? And hopefully we have time. I would suspect that we would today for text messages. My number is at the top of the screen. If you have a comment or question relevant to the message today, then we'll take some time at the end to entertain those publicly. So, as I mentioned, we all have things we need. We all have things that we want. How do we pray for those? And I think there's three basic ways. And I want you to think about which one you are. Okay? There's a whole spectrum in between, but I think there's three kind of flagpoles on this spectrum of what it means to pray. And the first one is, there are people that just pray because it just seems like the thing you're supposed to do. You're saying the words, I don't know if it's actually going to accomplish anything. Probably not. You know, I've read the studies. I don't think prayer even does anything. So I'm just doing this because I have to, or I'm doing this because this is what they do at the church or in my small groups, and these are the things I need. I'm not expecting anything to happen. I'm just going to say the words. You have no expectation. Sort of the middle ground of that is, I'm going to pray. I just kind of throw it out there and see what happens. I don't want to get my hopes up. Okay, this is the person that has prayed for something and didn't happen, and they feel a little burnt, so you're afraid to jump in both feet. I get that. I think most of us who have followed Jesus for any length of time have had an experience where there's something you wanted, something you needed, and God didn't come through when you wanted, in the way that you wanted, and so we're a little bit gun-shy. Let me just throw it out there. For people who are not followers of Jesus and they find themselves praying, let me throw it out there to the universe and see what happens. Here, as followers of Jesus, we think we have more than that. We have a relationship with the Creator, and we still kind of throw it out there. I don't want to get burnt again. I don't want to raise my expectations. Keep your expectations low, then they won't be, you know, they won't be not unmet. I said that to Michelle yesterday. We were walking in the mall, and she said something about expectations. I said, just keep your expectations to me low. You won't be disappointed. And the third kind of flagpole on that spectrum is the person that says, I expect to get whatever I want and need whenever I want it because I'm doing it correctly. So if you do it correctly, then you should get what you want. If you don't get what you want, it means you didn't do it correctly. And so we give God the list of things that we want and need on our behalf and on our at the end of it, and you have to make sure at the end you say, in the name of Jesus, because that means that you can get what you want. That's kind of like the rubber stamp of approval. And I think we're all kind of somewhere in there among those three options. With that in mind, I want to look at a passage from Scripture that a lot of people don't talk about these kinds of passages anymore so much because of some of these issues that we have, potential disappointment and maybe taking God for granted. And it's in Mark 11, verses 22 to 24. I'd love for you to follow along with me. I don't care what translation you use. We do sell the New Living Translation at the information desk. If you don't have a Bible, I think they go for $10, which is a great deal. So Mark 11, verse 22 says, Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you received it, it will be yours. That sounds great, because I'd love a PS4, right? I can get whatever I want, and that's what Jesus says. Anybody ever prayed for a mountain to be moved and seen it, seen that happen? I don't know too many people that have. And so we have this, it sounds good. Is it too good to be true? I'd like to contextualize this a little bit, because when Jesus is saying this to his disciples, they're living in basically what we would consider today abject poverty. The majority of the people don't necessarily know that they're going to have enough for the next year. We rely on, you know, Visa and bank accounts, and we make our plans, but anything could happen. A famine could wipe you out, or the Romans could come in and steal all your grain, or whatever. And there was a phrase that they would use, which was a description of the age to come. You know, in the age to come, God is going to come and make everything right. And the phrase they would use, they said, and every man will sit under his own fig tree. And the idea of that is that every person, every family will have enough. Well, more than enough. Okay, figs are not a staple. They're not a basic diet. Your staples are your barley and your wheat. But if you're under your own fig tree, you have enough and more. Sometimes I think in North America, we look at it and say every man under his own fig tree isn't enough. We want every man in his own Ferrari. We have more than enough in this culture. We still have needs, sure. But when it comes to your basic needs, your basic experience, shelter and clothing, the vast majority of people in North America have that. And yet Jesus says, you can ask for anything, and I'll give it to you. In the immediate context here, Jesus is going to his death. Here's where it gets tough. Because Jesus is going to his death, and he calls all of us to follow him. And this is right before the crucifixion. So ask for whatever you want, follow me to suffering and death. What? What's going on here? In fact, what has just happened in the story, and you can read this at home, or if you can read it while I'm talking if you want. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he passed a fig tree, and there was no figs on it. Jesus was hungry, and so he cursed the fig tree, and then he went into the temple and wiped out all the, not wiped out, he cleaned out all the people that were buying and selling and kind of desecrating the intention of the temple. And then on his way back, he's going by the fig tree, and the disciples see that it's all wilted. That's incredible. How did that happen? Well, the context there is one of judgment, because a fig tree is one of the symbols of Israel, God's people. And so the idea there, the symbolic meaning there is Jesus has an expectation of what should be produced. God has an expectation of the kinds of things that should be produced by his people, and he comes into the temple and sees that it's the opposite of that. And the result is that because the tree was not producing the kind of fruit it should, it would be under a curse. And a lot of scholars see this as a prediction of the destruction of the temple. In fact, when Jesus says, you know, don't be impressed by this foreshadowing of judgment, he says, God can have this mountain moved and thrown into the sea to accomplish his purposes. Now, when Jesus is saying this, Jerusalem itself is sitting on a mountain. There's a couple of references here. One is further judgment, right? If this temple, if this city is not accomplishing God's purposes, God can wipe it out to accomplish his purposes. It also is that there's a reference to the Old Testament where one of God's chosen, back at this point, if you're looking for baby names, this is a great one for you, okay? Zerubbabel, okay? So Zerubbabel is God's chosen, and the prophet Zephaniah says, God said that he will accomplish his desire, and he will flatten out or smooth out any mountain that gets in your way. So there's a sense here that this isn't just about, oh, let me get what I want. There's something that God wants to do. There's something that God wants to accomplish, and when you're on side with that, nothing can stand in your way on the path to suffering and death. That's not a Ferrari. Whatever you want, whatever you ask in my name. So God has a bigger agenda than what I want for Christmas. In fact, God has got a bigger agenda than the things that I believe that I need. And so here we are in the 21st century, and I have to explain this context stuff because we don't get it just reading. It doesn't yell out at us at face value. But when you look at that context, it kind of expands it. And so we have a couple of misunderstandings today. First of all, we have a misunderstanding of God's greater purpose. We have a misunderstanding of what God wants to accomplish in the world, not just in your life. We also have a misunderstanding of God's power, because there's a lot of people that pray, well, I just got to say the words and I don't know if it's going to happen. We don't believe that God can actually change circumstances and make them different. Sometimes we believe in a powerful God, or we believe in a God that has no power. But there's also people that, and I've been here, we believe in a God who has power, but we don't believe he actually wants to do anything. We believe in a powerful God who doesn't do powerful things. In fact, I know that God can do whatever, but I don't really believe he wants to do it for me. So there's a misunderstanding of how much God loves the world, but there's also a misunderstanding of how much God loves you. Does God want to fix your situation? Does he want you to keep living in despair and a poverty mentality? No, he doesn't. But we don't always believe that he has the ability to do something about it, or that he wants to do something about it. And then the second part of that is we have a misunderstanding when we have a presumption of what it takes to accomplish what God wants. So it's kind of like this. God, the world is messed up. My life is messed up. So let me tell you how to fix it in Jesus' name. And that's what we do when we pray sometimes. We do that. Let me tell you exactly what needs to happen. When you look at the bigger picture, most people are familiar, maybe less so today than 20 years ago, but there's something called the Lord's Prayer. And that's the traditional name of Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. They come to him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And he says, you pray like this. Our Father, no, this is the tradition, Our Father who art in heaven. Okay, that's 1600s English, really. But Our Father is not a distant God, but a Father who loves us. May your name be holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth the way it is in heaven. The prayer starts with, God, let your agenda happen. May your name be holy. May your kingdom come. That kingdom come is that means that age to come when everything is made right. That's God's agenda. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Last week I spoke on prayer and we talked about the starting point of relationship with God. And the challenge I gave to everybody that was here last week was, this week don't pray and ask for anything. This week, accept God's love for you and show God's love in return. And I'll tell you that was tough. Because I find that when I pray, the first word I start with is please. Almost every time, God, please. I'm asking. That's my starting point. Instead of, God, what are you trying to accomplish? What do you want to do? He has an overarching purpose. So here we are. There was the old age where the world is messed up. The scripture says that the world was under the power of sin. And Jesus came and broke that. But we still see the world is messed up. The age to come has not fully arrived yet. The vanguard force has arrived. In fact, we are invited into that vanguard force. We are part of the age to come, living in the present age. And so there's this overlap of ages. And Paul describes this in his letter to the Romans. He says, all creation is groaning, waiting for deliverance. In fact, he's more specific than that. He says, all creation is groaning, waiting to see who God's people, the true people of God, really are. When you have your faith in Jesus, that's who you are. And that is God's purpose for justice and restoration in the world. And all of creation is waiting, is groaning and waiting for that to be revealed, justice to be revealed, restoration to be revealed, and who are the ones that God has chosen. What is the way that God is doing? We want to see what that's going to happen. And when we pray, Paul says this in the very same paragraph, we pray with that same groaning as God's Spirit prays in us and with us. So we are part of the restoration purpose, not for a new car, but for the restoration of all of creation. That's a really, really big picture idea. When when you pray in someone's name, that assumes a few things, okay? If I were to knock on your door at 1 o'clock in the morning, you would be really upset, okay? I would assume. If somebody were to knock on your door and yell out really loud, open up in the name of the law, that assumes that that person represents the law. They have the privilege of doing that, but they also have the authority to do that. But they're also not doing it to represent their own interests. They're doing it to represent the interests of the law. They have a responsibility and a purpose to accomplish in doing that. If a cop were to knock on your door at 1 o'clock in the morning, open up in the name of the law, I need to borrow some sugar, wouldn't go over so well, because that's a betrayal of the purpose of the law. So when we pray in Jesus' name, it's not a rubber stamp, it's not a magic phrase that guarantees you get what you want. The expectation, the understanding is you are speaking, you are praying with God's agenda as your starting point. We understand that God has a purpose. This is what I'm praying. When you pray in my name as a representative of Jesus and his agenda, that's really different. To kind of invoke Jesus' name to get what you want is kind of like reducing God himself to a tool, to an object. We're used to using objects, whether it's a crowbar or a hammer, or a car, or a computer, to get what we want, to accomplish what we need. And there are people that will pray and invoke Jesus' name and invoke some of the promises of the Scripture, and they're reducing God to a tool, as if you can use him to get what you want. The roles need to be reversed there. When I graduated Bible college, I had really had no interest in going into full-time ministry at all. Even before I went to Bible college. Why did I go to Bible college? Because I felt God challenged me to go to Bible college. And after that, I don't know. Let's see what happens. And so I graduated, and then it's kind of like, what now, right? And Michelle and I started going the journey of, let's see what opens up. And we had a bad experience at a church that said they were interested in hiring us. And then we found out that they, after the fact, they kind of changed their mind. And so that wasn't so much fun. And then we were in, this is out in British Columbia, and we came here for a wedding. Okay, I think it was my brother's wedding. My brother got married, which in itself was a miracle. Shouldn't say that. He might listen to this online. So we're at the wedding, and a good friend of mine was in the wedding party as well. And he said, did you know that the music pastor of the church is submitting his resignation? Nobody knows this. Now, I knew the music pastor, you know, because before I moved out west, we'd got to know each other. And so this guy that was telling me this had no business knowing this. Really, he didn't. His dad was the chairman of the board of elders. And so he had this inside track information. So we had just had this bad experience with a church that didn't want us to, they said they wanted to hire us and then didn't. And all of a sudden, there's this opportunity that opens up, but What can you do with that? Because nobody, like, it's not public knowledge. So we're here for 2 weeks. I got this, like, I don't know what to do. Well, I had this idea, okay? So I knew the music pastor, and I phoned him, and I said, you know, I just graduated. I got a church music major, Bachelor of Theology degree, and do you know of any positions in the area that would be open for that? And he said, well, nobody knows this, but I just submitted my resignation. Oh, really? So we fast-tracked. You know, I mean, I knew everybody on the board. I didn't know the senior pastor because there had been a transition there. But now we know why we went through all this other stuff, because this is where God would have us be. And so I got an interview, and we were like considering, like, maybe this is where we're gonna come back home, kind of thing. And Michelle was talking to one of her friends, and they kind of got out. You know, Fred's applying for this position. And Michelle said, you know, Fred's applying for the position. She goes, yeah, we're thrilled about that. And Michelle said, well, you know, we're praying about it, and if it's God's will, it'll happen. And this person said, I don't care if it's God's will. I'm going to pray that it happens. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't get the job, and in hindsight, thank God. It would have been a mess. Like, it was not the right job for me. It was not the right fit. But imagine if I had kicked that door down and said, yeah, this is what I want, in Jesus' name. Let's make it happen. See, God has a purpose for you that's bigger than you can see. Our vision can be very narrow. God has a purpose for the whole world. Imagine you have a family party, family reunion coming up this Saturday. I don't want it to rain for this party. We're going to have an outdoor party, so I'm going to pray in Jesus' name that there's no rain. Meanwhile, there's a farmer standing out in his field. His fields are dry, and he's praying for rain. We have a limited perspective. God has a purpose for the whole world, and God also has a purpose for you, for your benefit. And so sometimes we go through stuff. Sometimes we go through bad things that are our own fault, right? We know that. And sometimes God will allow us to go through that to correct something or build something. It's not always correct. Sometimes it's to build your character. David was, before he was king, back in old Israel, he faced off against a bear and a giant, and he couldn't pray in Jesus' name. God would just eliminate those things. But if he didn't go through that, he wouldn't have been prepared to face the giant. We all want to be David. We don't want to face giants. So God puts us through things to build our character, to do something more, something bigger. That's one reason we go through stuff. We also go through stuff because it's our own fault. God wants something bigger for you than you want for yourself. Regardless of what the situation is that you're facing right now. You could be facing a relational issue. You have a relational breakup or a relational need, right? I remember the days when I wasn't dating anyone and it looked like that would never, ever happen. It was going to be, you know, bachelor to the rapture or whatever. And I mean, it's a big deal, right? God has something bigger and better for you than you want, but if the whole time I was wanting a date with somebody, but my character wasn't there yet, that would have been really bad news. I remember we bought our first house. The experience was hell. It was really bad. And then you get in a house and you find out that carries all of its own. Like, we had no idea what we were even getting into. And people that have bought houses, you find out after the fact, this is not like renting. Replace your own roof. The responsibility is a lot bigger than you expect. So God builds us up for his kingdom, not for our possessions, for his kingdom, do something bigger and better than we would even know. The answer to prayer, when God answers your prayer, that's the age to come, breaking into the present. God has a purpose for that. And that expectation is wrapped up in Jesus himself. Because he is the number one fulfiller of us. Not a new car, not a relationship, not a bank account. Jesus is the number one fulfiller. So last week, we talked about the starting point of prayer is building that relationship of love, not giving God what we need. But this week, we have the need to listen, that we partner with God for the furthering of his agenda. I know for me, I use the throw it out there prayer. Right? God, this is what I want. This is what I need. Just letting you know, I'm not telling you. And I've had a couple times that's worked. And I'm not saying that this is a great technique for you. But there were times, I remember one time when we were going through a really, really difficult transition in our life. Michelle was purchasing a business, and I had newly become the senior pastor here under very difficult circumstances. And I remember somebody telling me, you know, you should really give yourself, you should buy a PVR because that you can control your TV watching. I'm thinking, that's great. Thanks for telling me that. Thanks for telling me to buy something I could never afford. And so I did a throw out there prayer. You know, God, it'd be nice if you gave me a PVR. You ever ask for God something stupid like that? Like, I don't need one. I really don't. Nobody needs a PVR. And I threw it out there. And what are the chances, right? What are the chances? Who's going to give you a PVR? Nobody's that dumb. And I think it was within the month, somebody called Michelle and said, we're moving out of the area to a place where we can't use our PVR. Do you want it? And they gave us a PVR. I'm not saying that. Here's my take on that after the fact. We were going through such a difficult time that God answered that prayer, not because of something we needed, but just to let us know, I'm with you on this. I'm with you. You're going through a difficult time. I am with you. This is not a trick for you to figure out what little luxury item you need. And Pastor Fred said, go throw it out there and God will make it happen. Get yourself in God's agenda. So we have options here. You can keep praying with no expectation. I'm just going to, I don't even know why I'm doing this. To do that is to deny his power, that God doesn't even have the ability to do it or doesn't love you enough to do something. But we believe in a God who actually is powerful and does powerful things, and he loves you fully. And Scripture says he can do more than you can even ask or imagine. We can continue to pray demanding what we want. We can pursue, you know, health and happiness and power and self-fulfillment. In fact, everybody that's not even a follower of Jesus asks for those things. So what makes us different, right? We try to leverage God for us to fulfill the American dream in our own lives. There's something really messed up about that. But Rather than pursuing those things, pursue Jesus at the center of your relationship. Let him be the one that fulfills your deepest need. Don't deny his power. Don't deny his love. We have the opportunity to submit ourselves to the purpose of a powerful, loving God whose future for you is better than the future you can imagine for yourself. What's the result when you do that? Well, the result is you're gonna experience a meaning and a purpose that's beyond what you thought possible, but probably at a great cost to your own personal individual agenda. Because your own personal individual agenda is just not good enough. God's agenda is better. He can break apart your very perception of what you think you need and what you think you can accomplish, what God can do for you, what God can do through you. So I wish, as I said at the beginning, that we all experience answered prayer on a regular basis, but that we experience the fulfillment of God's agenda in our lives rather than the things that we think we want and things that we think we need. That's what I want to see, that we would be a church that rests in the love of God and pursues a relationship of love with God, and from there, listens for his agenda so we can ask for that in Jesus' name. Now, the starting point for that is to actually be in relationship. And there may be people here that don't know what that is even all about. Well, how do you begin that? Well, I say this every week. It's not easy, but it's as simple as ABC. It starts by admitting your need for God. Okay, I have a limited perspective. I cannot see enough to know what is right, and I can't do enough to do what needs to be done. So God, I need you. And the second is to believe that God actually has a better future for you, a better future that was bought somehow through Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus went to his death, and he went to suffering and death and came through the other end to triumph over all of the things that keep us from that better future. And the third thing is to commit your life to him. Because doing it on your own limits you to what you can see with your own perspective. Limits you to what you can do with your own resources and talents. And God has a bigger, better agenda for you. I mentioned an announcement at the beginning that we're having a prayer night coming up on October the 14th. And we want to be at Crossing Church a church that's a praying church. And we do this on our own. You know, I pray on my own. Sometimes I struggle to do so. But we also need to pray together. So we're going to be trying this new thing on a Sunday night. We're going to have an incredible prayer service. And so, again, put it on your calendar, October 14th. I'm going to see if we have text messages. We have some. We have time and we have some. I get that Jesus was showing that God will answer our prayers, but why would Jesus kill a perfectly good tree that was not ready to bear fruit to prove a point? So, you know what's funny? There's a really, really skeptical, cynical wing of Christianity. Have you ever heard of the Jesus Seminar? It's a whole bunch of scholars that many of them would dismiss or deny anything supernatural. And they did a thing in the 80s where they said, we're going to try to figure out which parts of the biblical text, specifically the Gospels, are actually true or real or original. What did Jesus actually say? And they did a vote with different colored marbles. And this is one of the passages that they said, well, this is legitimate. It's got to be legitimate because it doesn't look good. And if it wasn't legitimate, nobody would add that in after the fact because Jesus killed a tree for no reason. Well, yeah, but God's purpose is more than for that tree. There was a message being said about the nation of Israel. Let me ask you this. Why would Jesus destroy a perfectly good temple building? Why would Jesus judge an entire nation? Because he had a higher, bigger purpose. And what the nation was supposed to accomplish was not happening. Jesus himself accomplished that. And so, I mean, that's a big loaded answer. Why would he do that to prove a point? Because the point was worth it? There's the simple, trite answer. Okay. This point was worth it. We are told to ask, we receive not because we ask not. How does this relate to knowing what God wants for your life, also knowing if it's God's will? So that first category of prayer where we approach with extreme doubt and cynicism, and we don't even bother asking because we think, well, God's not going to do it anyway. So there are times when, you know, what do you do if you have a headache? You go get a Tylenol. What do you do if you have financial problems? Well, you go see a financial advisor. What do you do when you have emotional problems? You go see a therapist. We don't even include God in our solution options. You don't have because you don't ask. Sorry, I got this. I'll take care of this myself, thanks. So you don't have because you don't include him in your solution options. And it should be the number one solution option, because we line up our whole lives under his agenda. We live our lives according to his agenda and then see what happens. I hope I answered that question. How do you know the difference between a consequence and God's will? That's a tough question. Because I remember when I was out west and I was a youth pastor and we were praying, and I can't remember what we were praying for specifically, and one of the kids who had grown up in church was thoroughly indoctrinated with churchiness, said, well, we pray and ask for God's will, and we know that whatever happens is God's will. That's not true. Whatever happens isn't God's will. Was the Holocaust God's will? When children are abused, that's God's will? No, God calls us to be a part of what he does. He calls us to be a solution, part of the solution for the world. Dealing with trafficking issues, dealing with environmental issues, not sitting back and going, oh, whatever happens is God's will. I don't have a really high tolerance for that mentality, that we blame God for everything bad that happens. Things happen bad because we make it happen. We allow things to happen. We don't deal with stuff. Things happen bad because we actually actively, well, that's the same thing. Yeah, we do it and make it happen. And sometimes things happen because God has something bigger on the other side of that, and sometimes the two are meshed together. I think I know the answer to this question now that I'm talking out loud and just thinking it out loud. How do you know the difference between a consequence and God's will? The answer to find that is ask him. Ask him. If you have a relationship with somebody that falls apart, and then the next year you have a relationship with somebody else that falls apart, and the next year you have a relationship with somebody else that falls apart, and the next year you have a relationship with somebody else that falls apart. What's the common denominator in all those relationships? You are. So now it might be a coincidence. By the third time you might start to ask, is this a coincidence or is it not? And so God can point that out to you and you go, there's something that I need to do in my character to change the way I interact with other people. Is that a consequence or is it God's will? Well, the answer to that is yes. It's both. Deal with it. And I know that because I've been through that. You go through something, you're going through the same thing over and over and over, and realize, wait a minute, I'm the only common denominator here. I think there's something God wants to change in my life so I can continue to be part of his agenda for the world. Again, it sounds like a simplistic answer. Ask him. But I'm pretty sure at some point he's going to tell you. You might not want to hear the answer. In fact, he might tell you might not be listening, because we don't really want to know that sometimes things are our own fault or we need to change. Change sucks. But the end result is better. That's it for text messages. We're going to ask and invite you to stand. We're going to move from here to prayer, which is a great way to end a message, a service about prayer. Once the service is over, Theater One becomes our prayer room. We always challenge people in Crosslands Church, find one person you've never met before, have a meaningful conversation. We want to be a place where people belong, where people feel accepted. And so, yeah, we want to talk to our friends, but don't let somebody walk out today without having had somebody talk to them. Be warm, be welcoming. We just ask that it happens in the lobby so that Theater One can be a prayer room. So as soon as the prayer is done, that I'm going to close the service in prayer, just ask that you know, leave quickly and quietly for the people that want to stay and pray, okay? And I would encourage you to stay and pray. If you don't want to, then quickly and quietly. The prayer focus today is to submit yourself to God's agenda, and that starts with listening. It's less talking, it's more listening. God, what are you already doing in my life? What are you already doing around me that you want me to plug into, you want me to be a part of? And watch what happens. The kids program will be letting out, you know, another 15 minutes from now. So if you have kids in there, you're free to stay for 15 minutes. Don't avoid this opportunity to plug in with God's agenda for you and for whatever situation you're dealing with. Father, I thank you for your incredible love and that you have not just the power, the ability to deal with our needs, even our wants, but that you love us enough to do that. We acknowledge that our scope is limited, our perception is limited, that we only know so much, we only see so much. And Lord, there are people here that are facing insurmountable obstacles in finances, in health, in relationships, work circumstances, major life choices. Father, we acknowledge that you know what to do. Not only do you know what to do, but you love us enough to do the right thing. So, Father, today, as we tune our ears to what you have to say, I pray that you would allow us to hear you. You would allow us to sense your direction. That we wouldn't just come to you with a list telling you what to do in Jesus' name, but we would align ourselves to your agenda. And that we would increasingly become a praying people, but praying your will be done. We would be part of what you are doing in the world. Ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.